And the reason why I'm showing you this is this. Turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Once we're there, let's back up just a few verses to verse 11. This was actually a question that someone asked me here not too long ago about those who are judged who do not go to heaven. Those who were judged who are appointed to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And this is that judgment. And I saw verse 11 of Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So we have books being opened. And those first set of books, I believe, are the books of the deeds of these people. It's big books. A lot of pages. They are the wicked sins, what we would call in today's terminology, their rap sheet. Okay? It's the number of crimes that they have committed, the number of charges that have been leveled against them, the number of things that supposedly they did, the things that they were found guilty of, so on and so on. And then the book of life was open, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Okay. Anyway, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So notice that in verse 18, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. So when naval ships are out to sea, it has been common for sailors to be, their bodies to be thrown overboard in a ceremony and basically buried out at sea. That is their grave. Or ships that were shipwrecked out at sea. That was their grave. That's where they're buried. And death and hell, if you remember them from Revelation 6, the fourth horse that comes out, he is the pale horse, and he comes out and his rider is death, and hell follows with him. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And here's what I'm going to say. We are judged according to our faith. They, however, since they have no faith, they are judged according to their works. In verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is that Pat Boone song I was trying to find, said I never could find it. And that Sunday afternoon, like half a dozen people sent me copies of it that they found. And I'm going, I thought it was hard to find. Never mind. But in it, Pat Boone sings something like, saw it on a bumper sticker, something, something, something. Born just once, you die twice, born twice, just die once. Something. I need to learn that song. I like it. My wife does not like the song. She said, it sounds gloomy. I said, yeah, but it has a beautiful gospel message in it. And it's an important message that people need to think about. Everybody dies. And I guarantee you, there's people right now who are at a funeral thinking that death is not going to happen to them for some reason. But it is. It's going to happen to every one of us. And at some point, you need to think about it, and you need to think about where you're going to spend the rest of your second life after that. Because you're going to be resurrected one way or the other. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, here is what I think the totality of the number 12 represents. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Won't that be something? Amen? Wouldn't it be something for you to show up to heaven crying and the hand of God himself reaches down and wipes your tears away with his hand? I'd cry some more just to get him to do that again. In verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I love that verse. Because I tell people who are saved, and especially those who are newly saved, and they worry about the sins of their past, how they keep thinking in their mind that somehow, some way, God is going to hold them, those sins against them again because they're too bad. And I say to them, that wasn't God talking. That was the devil talking. Because God makes all things new. All things new. God will give you a new life, a new name, a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing the world, a new way of seeing politics, a new way of seeing this world and how it is. God will give you a new way of seeing marriage and children and family. God will give you a new way of seeing all of that. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things, these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto them him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had how many gates? 12. So the promise is made in relation to the number 12. The promise was made in Genesis 12. The promise was made by way of the 12 tribes of Israel. The promise was made by way of what you see up on the screen, the 12 camps of the tribes of Israel who are headed to an earthly promised land. But when they get there, there's all kinds of wars and problems and troubles and everything else. And so the country that they're seeking, they still haven't found it yet. God still has it coming to them. So now, by way of the 12 apostles, we have a new covenant that God delivers to mankind. It's the New Testament. It is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that both Gentile and Jew get to be partakers of this city with its 12 gates. And 12 angels and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Therefore, furthering the promise that God has made. He didn't, when he chose 12 tribes, he was choosing Israel of old. But when he chose 12 apostles, he was showing to us who are of the Gentiles, I'm choosing you as well. Don't worry, I will not leave you out. In fact, one of my favorite illustrations for this, let's see if I can find it. See if I have it in my notes. Yeah, I do. So, take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. You might like this. Everything God does is for a reason. In Isaiah 49, verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I, and let me say this. You've heard of people that driving around with their baby in the back seat of the car, getting out and forgetting their child. I went to Bible college with a guy, and he was a good guy too. He was a really good guy. I liked him. But I had heard that not too many years after we were in Bible college together, it's either him or his wife left their baby in the back of the car, and the baby died. And they were going to, last I had heard, and of course, this is, we're talking probably 30 some odd years ago, that they were going to prosecute this young couple for murdering their own child. I mean, here they have to deal with, number one, the loss of their child. Number two, they have to deal with the loss of their child at their own hand. And now they have to deal with the loss of their child and possibly going to prison for it, and having to spend time in prison and having a murder charge that will never go off of their record. And I never did find out how that case turned out, never did find out how it went down, but I prayed for him and his family because I knew it wasn't deliberate. So can a woman forget her suckling child? Yeah, it's possible. But here's what God said. Yet I will I not forget thee. I'll never forget you. He said, behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. I sat and I looked at that verse, and I started looking at my hand. Everybody look at your hand. Are there carved lines in your hands? Yeah. It's where your hand folds together. Okay? So God's hand looks like our hand. He has graven them in the palms of his hands. Thy walls. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, so which line means which? And I didn't understand until I read the rest of, and the Holy Ghost said, Mike, read the rest of that verse. Thy walls are continually before me. And then I remembered that on every wall in New Jerusalem, there is 12 gates, three gates per wall. So I looked at the palm of my hand. Wall number one, wall number two, wall number three, wall number four. And every wall has one, two, three gates in it and three carvings in it. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And God has a name of each tribe of Israel written and engraven into the palm of his hand, so that every time he looks at his hand, he remembers his promise that he made to the 12 tribes of Israel, that I'm going to build you a city, and I'm going to put four walls in it. I'm going to put 12 gates, and on every gate, there's going to be 12 of them. I'm going to write your name above every one of those gates, and they're there forever. And a lot of times, if I'm thinking or whatever, and I just happen to look at my hand, I'll remember what God said to Israel, because I have the exact same lines in my hands too. So it's no mystery to me what this verse is talking about. I know exactly what it's talking about. God made a promise, and every time he looks at his hand, he remembers the oath that he made to Israel. And he said, I will never, ever forget the oath, the promise that I made to my people. If you've ever had the thought, like I have had, that maybe God has forgotten you, or that God has forsaken you somehow, or that God has put you at the end of the line, or that God somehow, some way is going to break his promise to you. God would sooner have to cut off his hand before he would forget his promise that he made both to Israel and to us with the 12 apostles, that he promised us a city, four square, 12 foundations, and 12, four walls, 12 gates around those walls. Somebody say amen. God's not going to forget that forever. And once you now that you see that, every time you look at your hand, you're going to remember that. You're going to remember. Write that verse down, underline that verse, whatever you got to do. But you're going to remember what God showed you today about your hand, that God will never forget his promise to you. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. Lord, I know it's raining, but Father, we needed the rain. Wells were getting dry. Farmers are wanting to bring their crops in and get those ready, Lord. And Father, we just thank you, God, for the rain, the change of the weather. We thank you, Father, for bringing us into your house this morning, loving on us, using us for your kingdom, for your glory's sake. Father, we ask, God, that you continue to bless our church, bless its people, bless our children, bless, Father, the children locally who are having difficulties. Some of my grandchildren are sick this morning. We pray for Noah this morning. Father, we pray for Isabella this morning. Father, we just pray, dear God, for the children in Kenya. And God, if you gave me a $1 billion lottery ticket, I'd use it. I'd buy everybody over there some food. Buy it till it was all gone. Just to feed those people. Or to fix up some way that they could feed themselves. Father, bless your people. Bless this church, we pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.